Chapter 130. It was always possible, the sex being so charming. Would she show him some? Most willingly, said the little woman, flattered and enchanted to show him many. But pardon. To begin with, he would have the great goodness to observe that there were love gifts, and there were nuptial gifts. For example, these ravishing earrings and this necklace so superb to correspond, were what one called a love gift. These brooches and these rings, of a beauty, so gracious and celestial, were what one called, with the permission of Monsieur, nuptial gifts. Perhaps it would be a good arrangement, Mr. Dorrit hinted, smiling, to purchase both, and to present the love gift first, and to finish with the nuptial offering. Ah, heaven! Said the little woman, laying the tips of the fingers of her two little hands against each other, that would be generous indeed, that would be a special gallantry. And without doubt the lady so crushed with gifts, would find them irresistible. Mr. Dorrit was not sure of that. But, for example, the sprightly little woman was very sure of it, she said. So Mr. Dorrit bought a gift of each sort, and paid handsomely for it. As he strolled back to his hotel afterwards, he carried his head high, having plainly got up his castle now to a much loftier altitude than the two square towers of Notre Dame. Building away with all his might, but reserving the plans of his castle exclusively for his own eye, Mr. Dorrit posted away for Marseille. Building on, busily, busily, from morning to night. Falling asleep, and leaving great blocks of building materials dangling in the air, waking again, to resume work, and get them into their places. What time the courier in the rumble, smoking young John's best cigars, left a little thread of thin light smoke behind perhaps as he built a castle or two with stray pieces of Mr. Dorrit's money. Not a fortified town that they passed in all their journey was as strong, not a cathedral summit was as high, as Mr. Dorrit's castle. Neither the Seine nor the Rhone sped with the swiftness of that peerless building, nor was the Mediterranean deeper than its foundations, nor were the distant landscapes on the Cornice Road, nor the hills and bay of Genoa the superb, more beautiful. Mr. Dorrit and his matchless castle were disembarked among the dirty white houses, and dirtier felons of Civita Vecchia, and thence scrambled on to Rome as they could, through the filth that festered on the way. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.